chapter 3, James chapter 3. We're going to read verse 2 through verse 12 responsively. I'll read the first verse. We'll all read the second verse together. James chapter 3, verse 2 through 12. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect or mature man, and able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also ships, which, though they be great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on the fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpent, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I thank you, Father, for this portion of the Bible. Thank you, dear God, how it is a challenge to us and how it ought to convict each and every one of us. I ask this in Christ's name, that you bless us. Bless the sermon tonight. May it speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, in chapter 1 of the book of James, we see the mature believer is patient in trouble. Then in chapter 2, we see the mature believer is one who practices the truth. And in chapter 3, we read that a perfect or mature believer is able to control the beast that lies behind one's teeth. This chapter, for the most part, deals with the dangerous misuse of the tongue. These words of Scripture were written nearly 2,000 years ago, and they apply to the people that James was talking to. They were in the past, but these same truths apply to people today. The sins of the tongue are no less common today than they were back then. How much damage is done by gossip, slander, cursing, lying, unkind words that should never have been said? Such words defile the believer and are best left unsaid. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 15, verse 11, "Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man." It'll be a great day in one's life when they are no longer guilty of sinning with the tongue. And like the disciples on the day of Pentecost, may we speak as the Holy Spirit gives us utterance. The power of speech is one of the greatest powers that God has given us. By our words, we can express our thoughts. And when used properly, the tongue can praise God. It can be used in prayer, preach the word, lead the lost to Christ, and lift the spirits of others. Only a little word, softly and kindly. Breathe in the ear of the saddened and oppressed. Oh, how it tenderly makes like a melody over life's billow and lulls them to rest. Only a little word, softly and kindly, dropped in a heart that is calloused and chilled. Oh, its gentle strain tunes the heart again, waking the song in the soul that's been stilled. Yes, our words can be like apples of gold and pictures of silver, yet far too often we use them to offend. I know none of us are perfect in the use of the tongue, and I have beat myself up over its misuse on occasion. It is something that I got to constantly work on. And though I haven't cussed since 1983 or used profanity, I'm guilty of uttering idle words, spewing forth angry words, backbiting on occasion. I have prayed like the psalmist did in Psalm 141, verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. God sets a high standard in His Word for the use of the tongue. And I'm afraid not one of us can stand perfectly upright pertaining to the right and wrong use of our tongue. In this we all have sinned. In this we still do sin. None but our blessed Lord remain faultless in the use of His tongue. For it is written of Him in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22 and 23, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to Him that judgeth righteously. He is so unlike the rest of us, for he knew no sin. In him was no sin, and no sinful speech ever came out of his mouth. As I read the Bible, I see even the best of saints were not always right in what they said, and they would admit to it. God said this about Job in Job 1:8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Yet in Job chapter 40, verse 4, Job confesses how easy it was for him to sin with his tongue. Hear him as he says, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Abraham, the friend of God, lied about his wife Sarah. Not once, but twice. Isaiah was a good godly prophet of God, yet he still had to confess, I'm undone because I'm a man of unclean lips. Then one of the seraphims having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from with the tongs from off the altar, he laid it upon Isaiah's mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. Peter happened to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Followed the Lord for 3.5 years, was leader of the apostolic band. And one day he boasted, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. But that very night, Peter sinned with his tongue and denied the Lord, not once, not twice, but 3 times. And he lied about knowing the Savior. Moses was certainly one of God's choicest men. But it is written of him in Psalm 106, verse 33, that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. Even the great apostle Paul failed in sin with his tongue when he shouted to Ananias the high priest, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. His apology showed him to be in the wrong. But the damage had been done. And the words that he spoke could not be recalled. Since the control of the tongue is the measurement of Christian maturity, our speech will reveal our spirituality or our lack of it. For as James puts it, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man or a mature believer and able also to bridle the whole body. Now, the word perfect doesn't mean sinless. It contains the idea of being fully grown. Your speech is an indicator of whether or not you are growing as a believer. And we need to ask ourselves, are we like children? Are we like adults when it comes to our speech? How many of us can claim spiritual growth when our speech betrays us. As I ponder what James says about the tongue in this chapter, I must confess I have problems with my tongue. I don't believe I'm the only one. You know, it gets out of control at times. And it is an area that I need to grow in, because what I say, how I say, and when I speak at all needs to be controlled. Since the Lord says that an unbridled tongue gives evidence of an unbridled heart, there needs to be much heart searching and sincere confession amongst the people of God, for the tongues we have at times that are set on fires of hell. Of all the members of the body, there's none so serviceable as the tongue for Satan. I've been asked by some charismatics if I speak in tongues. I say, yes, I speak in tongues. I speak in the English tongue. And I don't need another tongue because I got problems with the one I already have. I know of nothing opened more by mistake than the mouth. Yes, it has been said the jawbone of an ass was a killer in Samson's day, and it still is today. The Bible has so much to say about the use of the tongue and the words that we speak. In Psalm 5:9, it says, they flatter with their tongue. Psalm 12:3, the tongue speaketh proud things. Psalm 34, verse 13, keep thy tongue from evil. Psalm 120, verse 2, tells us of lying lips and a deceitful tongue. Proverbs 10:20, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Proverbs 18:21 says there is power in the tongue, and the virtuous woman is said to have a tongue wherein is the law of kindness. One of my favorites is found in the book of Ecclesiastes, where it says, let thy words be few. Then in Luke 16:24, the rich man in hell wants his tongue cooled, and perhaps we ought to be asking God for the same thing. This matter of bridling the tongue doesn't happen overnight. It is a lifelong endeavor. Now, there are two disciplines every believer should constantly be working on: the use of right speech, and the more difficult one of not saying anything at all. I read a story about a pastor who had a member of his church that was a notorious gossip. I'll call her Sister Long Tongue. Her tongue was so long, she could sit on the couch in the living room and lick the skillet on the stove in the kitchen. She would be on the phone most of the day, sharing her juicy tidbits with any and all who would listen. By the way, gossip takes two. One with a tongue, and the other with an ear. She came to her pastor one day and told him that the Lord had convicted her of her sin of gossip, as she had come to realize that her tongue got her into trouble as well as many others. The pastor asked her, well, what do you plan on doing? She said, I want to put my tongue on the altar. The pastor, who had been a victim of this gossip, told her, there ain't an altar big enough. I was out soul winning years ago. I don't know who I was with, maybe with John. And there was this lady that had this little dog. And that little dog just wouldn't stop wagging its tail. Was that you, John? I mean, that thing was just going like this, 90 miles an hour. And then she told me that the dog won first place at the county fair in a tail wagging contest. I never heard of such a thing. And as I left, I said, man, I didn't know county fairs did such a thing. But if there was a tongue wagging contest, I believe some would walk away with the blue ribbon that I've met. It's as if they don't realize, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Oh, may we guard well our lips, for none can know what evil from the tongues may flow. Keep in mind that the main subject of James chapter 3, verse 2 through 12 is the misuse of the tongue, and he uses many illustrations of the damage that results from an unbridled tongue. First of all, he writes about bits and rudders which have power to direct. Verse 3 and 4 reads as follows. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Now James gives us two things which are rather small, yet they exercise great power just like the tongue of ours. A small bit enables a rider to control a horse, and a small rudder enables the captain of the ship to steer a large vessel. Both the bit and the rudder must overcome contrary forces. The bit overcomes the wild nature of the horse, and the rudder must fight the currents and the winds that would take that ship off course. Our tongues must overcome contrary forces as well. You see, we have an old nature, and that old nature wants to control us and make us sin. There are also circumstances around us that make us say things that we shouldn't. We have sin on the inside, pressure on the outside, and both want to control our tongues. This means that our tongues need to be controlled by the Lord. And when it is, we need not fear saying the wrong things or saying the right thing in the wrong way. When Jesus is in control and He's on the throne of our hearts, He will also be the Lord of our lips as well. The bit and rudder have a power to direct, and the words we say do affect the lives of others. An uncontrolled tongue can do much damage, and the harm it inflicts on others can be devastating. The tongue, though small, but can be used also to guide others. And when properly controlled, it can give godly counsel, be used to cheer the downcast, and bring a word of comfort to those in sorrow. How important it is that we use our tongue to direct people in the right way. Then James writes about fire and animals, which have power to destroy. Look at verses 5 through 8. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and set on fire the course of nature, and is set on the fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. You know, the tongue likes to boast, doesn't it? It likes to tell others how great we are. I'll never forget one day when I was working in the Air Force. I was in my office, and this other guy worked in the office, and he was at his desk, and he's talking to somebody about how great of a baseball player he was. I mean, he was... I finally, after about 5, maybe 10 minutes of him just bragging about how good of a baseball player he is, I knew he was from upstate New York. And I said, excuse me, he said, what? I said, how did the Yankees ever miss out on you? I said, after listening to you, you should have been in pinstripes, and you should be in the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. And, of course, that conversation ended right quickly. But you know what? It's amazing what people will brag about. I remember going to, a restaurant. I took the boys there one day, and we were eating. What was that place, Jake? It was a pasta place. They shut them down now. But anyways, we went there, and the waiter comes, and she's waiting on us. And all I wanted was to give the order and get the boys, get their order in, and just have a quiet meal. Well, she comes up, and she starts talking how great of a cook she is. Remember that, Jake? And it was a long conversation, wasn't it? And I was just like, So I'm listening to her, and she's telling me how great of a cook she is, blah, blah, blah. And finally I looked up and I said, you know, it's a shame you're waiting tables. I said, why aren't you back there cooking my meal? And both of my boys hung their head, wanted to climb under the table. But I'm like, you know what? I've had enough. You're supposed to take my order. You're supposed to give it to the people who cook the meal. I don't care about how good of a cook you are. You can't be that good. You're waiting on tables. But there's a lot of people who like to brag about how great they are. Have you ever heard somebody say, you know, some dish they cook is world famous. You ever hear that? You know, I remember coming to town and there was Conway's Red Top. World famous burgers. And I looked at that, I said, I never heard of it. How famous can it be? Now, I went there on numerous occasions. It was an okay burger. But was it world famous? No. They bragged about it. And sometimes it wasn't all that good. But they did have good milkshakes. Listen, the Bible says, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth. Some are like this frog I read about. And he wanted to escape the cold for warmer climate. Well, some wild geese, they were flying south, and they suggested that he could migrate south with them. Now, the geese had a few ideas on how that could work. But this frog thought he had a superior brain and thought his intellect far surpassed those geese with their bird brains. After some deliberation, he suggested that these two geese hold on to a strong reed on each end, and he would hold on with his mouth in the middle. Soon they were flying over this little village. And this guy looks up and he sees these two geese with this reed between them and this frog hanging by its mouth. And the villager says, man, I never seen anything like that. That sure took some wit for something like that to take place. And the frog said, that was me! As it fell down and was killed. Listen. Don't be bragging about yourself. Does not Solomon write this? A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The tongue may be small, but do not underestimate its destructive powers. You see, it can destroy one's reputation in a moment. One's testimony and the relationships they may have with others. It can all be over with in just a few words. One of the quickest ways to alienate yourself from others is to talk incessantly about yourself and how great you are. Words spoken selfishly, braggadociously, and haughty can defile the whole body and kindle a great fire, just like untrue, angry, divisive, and unkind words. The wickedness of the tongue comes from a place prepared for the devil and his angels. And some of the words we speak that come from our lips are like a burning fire. Our tongues certainly can heat things up in a skinny second. Not only is a tongue like a fire, but it's like a dangerous animal, one that is restless and cannot be ruled. Some animals are poisonous. And how many times have we used our tongues to spew forth a bit of poison while conversing with someone else? While man can tame wild animals and they can extinguish fires, we all have learned by experience that any power of our own is not able to control the tongue. It's true that there is no man that can tame their tongue, but we are not without hope because there is one who can. The Lord is no less able to control a lying, blaspheming, slanderous, gossiping, cursing, filthy tongue than he is to deliver the drunk from alcohol, the addict from drugs, and the lustful one from their immorality. Since he has power to deliver the sinner from hell, he can tame the tongue of the saint that is set on the fires of hell. I have witnessed more than a few believers get the victory over some sinful habits, and it was much easier for them to do that than getting their tongue tamed. James 3 writes about the fountain and the tree with the power to delight. Notice what it says in verse 9 through 12. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Now, who's he writing to? He's writing to Christians. He's writing to the saved. He understands they got a problem with their tongue. And you know what the preachers today need to understand, and they do understand, we all got problems with the tongue. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. These verses show how utterly inconsistent the tongue really is. If one meditates on these verses, we ought to be convicted by the failure to control the tongues that we have. On the one hand, we exercise our tongue, and it's best used to praise God, and then we use that same tongue to speak evil of another. So if I come to church, and I sing the praises of the Lord, listen to His words being proclaimed, and say to ourselves, it's been good to be in the Lord's house, and then on the way to the car, I start speaking evil because of someone said something to me that I didn't agree with, or did something, and you know what I did? I simply left my spirituality at the door of the church. This behavior needs to end. We have no right to utter an unkind, ill-tempered word about anyone. I say with James, and I include myself here, brethren, these things ought not so to be. When our tongues are inconsistent, it means that there's something radically wrong with our heart. I read about a believer who got angry on the job, and he went to cussing up a storm. Embarrassed by what he said, he looked at his coworker. He says, I don't know why I said that. It's really not in me to say such things. His co-worker said it had to be in you, or it wouldn't have come out of you. Let's remember, what is in the well of your heart will show up in the bucket of your speech. So let me ask you, can a fountain yield sweet water and bitter water at the same time? Is it not unnatural and even impossible for a fig tree to produce olives? Or grapevine to produce figs? Each must produce after their own kind. And since like begets like, evil speech can only come from an evil heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That little member of our body is one big troublemaker. But it doesn't have to be. So what do we say that we give God our tongue and we give God our heart every day and ask Him to use our tongue to bless both God and man? Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.